From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
While the media in the U.S. is preoccupied with the presidential election and the COVID-19 virus, Russia's been confronting a major geopolitical issue that it says has Washington's fingerprints all over it. The state of Belarus lies between Poland and Russia. It's the last former republic of the Soviet Union lying between Germany and Moscow that is not a member of NATO. A recent presidential election was won by the incumbent president by a massive majority, and yet the opposition has called it rigged. There have been street demonstrations sustained over the past couple of months, with some demonstrators calling for a new pro-Western government. It's within that context that Russia's President Vladimir Putin sat down with Belarus's President Alexander Lukashenko to discuss the current situation. After their discussion, they held a press conference, and we bring you as much of that as time will allow. We begin with the words of President Putin through a translator.
We consider Belarus as our closest ally, and as I have already said in a number of our phone conversations, we will fulfill all the obligations that we have. These obligations were taken mutually back in 1992, 1994, if I'm not mistaken. At least in 1994, you were president already. I wasn't, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that state Russia took certain obligations, as I said, and regardless of who's in power at the moment, the country must fulfill these obligations. As you know, on a number of occasions, we said that's what we are going to do. As for our economic ties, Russia remains the biggest investor into Belarusian economy. Just to name one project, nuclear power station, $10 billion, and more than 50% of the trade turnover of export of Belarus is sent to exported to Russia. Almost 2,500 enterprises in Belarus have Russian capital invested in them. We have a sustainable and deep cooperation on a number of tracks and a number of areas and fields. And by the way, this coronavirus, of course, it affected our trade turnover, unfortunately. And it is only natural that what is happening in the whole, in the entire world, so the trade turnover decreased, but we need to make extra efforts not to just rebuild, reach the same level as before, but to create the foundation for further progress. So I think we should concentrate on these matters as well. I've got some suggestion, I think, our governments and ministries and departments and even individual enterprises must make extra efforts, walk an extra mile to work on the existing problems and to create the foundation to progress even further. Our counterparts at different levels, at enterprises level, in the ministries, in the departments, they stay in contact at all times. Yes, the government has changed in Belarus, but that's not an obstacle to continue working together, especially since recently the head of the government of the Russian Federation came to Belarus, Mr. Mishustin. I know that he had extensive talks, and they were quite successful in all the areas of our cooperation, including the financial area. We have agreed that Russia, these hard times, dire times, Russia will issue a loan of $1.5 billion, and we will do that. As far as I'm concerned now, our finance ministers are working on that, but we will also need to continue our collaboration in the military area. I mean, first of all, military enterprises, so we work together quite well too, especially in sensitive areas and militarily too. So today we are starting exercise that we have planned last year that will take a couple of days, last couple of days. So it's a kind of a routine for the military because they need to prepare the troops. And once again, I would like to say to avoid any kind of speculations, these exercises were planned and even announced last year after the joint military exercises, Russian troops will return to their sites of permanent dislocation. And another relevant topic, I mean, the fight against the coronavirus infection, is our prime minister has agreed and health minister has agreed later. Belarus is going to be the first country to receive our antiviral vaccine against COVID-19, and it has already started to participate at the latest stage of the trials. I think it would allow us not only to start the production, but also to provide everything that our citizens need for their safety, the level of the vaccination, and level of curbing this disease. Mr. Lukashenko, I'm happy to see you. Welcome.
Mr. Putin, thank you. Thank you for this very comprehensive and frank description of what we are about to discuss today. It's all true. As never before, I, due to some certain circumstances, of following closely the media. And you know, I've been seeing a lot of conspiracies surface in the media, so it is very important to talk this all out right now. We need to rise up to all the challenges, to all the conspiracies circulating in the press. First and foremost, I would like to thank you. I think it's common knowledge that I'm thanking you for, well, not for adhering to the agreements, because that's the right thing to do, but you also acted as a person in a very good way, and I would like to thank you and other Russians who supported us in the time of need after the election finished. I will today give you all the details regarding what happened and what has been happening, because I can tell you that it's not really what we are seeing, different thing. You know how many angles are there. Today, we are living in a world of information warfare, and there is always more than one way to serve information to the public. So I'll tell you what is happening in Belarus and in Minsk in particular, especially during holidays, Saturdays and Sundays. On Saturday, we have girls, women marching on the streets, and every Sunday there is an all-out demonstration every week. In between these days, life goes on. We usually free up part of Minsk so that people, if they feel like it, they can walk, they can demonstrate. But there is a red line which no one can be crossing. I think you know it. You had that red line drawn in Chechnya when you were a young president. I remember how it happened. God forbid something like it happens in Belarus. But there is a red line, and I think it's very clear where the red line is today in Belarus. No one has crossed it so far, which is good. We are having all these troubles. Countries in turmoil, but you know, a good friend is the one who helps you when you're in trouble. And we know that Russia is our good friend. And this is an example not only for Also, for you, it's also a very good example of how to be true to your friends for other CIS countries. And CLSTO, I think it's a good platform to discuss it too. I will be delivering a report at the next meeting as well. We have always been very careful about our assessments, and we had a number of telephone conversations with you already at the start of the onset of these events in Belarus, and we've learned our lessons. You and I, we've learned our lesson, and I think we have withstood that headwind. Now, we need to continue. Our two nations, well, it's one people. We never shot anyone. We never attacked anyone. There was no violence between the two sides in Belarus. Yes, both sides demonstrated their resolve outside of Belarus. I know that someone would be willing to come in and stir up a trouble, stir up violence. Well, if they want violence, we can answer to that with violence. But the borders of Belarus are our borders. It's borders of our Union State. So no one can be doing any cyber rattling unanswered. Regarding the Union State, we started it all in 1992, when the USSR collapsed, we started drawing up the whole framework. We didn't dismantle the USSR, it was the legacy that we got. In 1994, we signed up on the obligations which we are seeing executed today, then you became president. You became president in the year 1998, no, in the year 2000, right. And we were working on the agreement in the 1994, we exchanged the agreements, we exchanged all the credentials, but I can tell you that our nations have always been friends, and they will always be friends. 10 million people from Belarus are working in Russia, and more people are working in Russia producing something for Belarus. We have equipment, spare parts coming to Belarus, vice versa. If we have a family of four people, then we have like 40 million Russians working in areas which this way or another are connected with Belarus in our industry. Our whole country, mostly we produce equipment, spare parts, and raw material. We export almost 50% of our produce to Russia. That's the breakdown of our economy. I asked Orban about cooperation with other countries, I mean, the EU countries, because you know that Orban has a very special position. He gave me the figure. He said up to 90% of the products are going to Germany. That's what he said. So, economy underpins everything. It takes the cake, you know. And the recent events have proved that we need to stand close with our brother, with Russia, and we need to cooperate with Russia across the board. You called me and you suggested to set up a mechanism. Actually, it was yet before the election. We agreed that we would kickstart our work right after the election is over. You said that our prime ministers could meet in Belarus and hold talks in order to prevent the mistakes which we have already made in the past. And Mr. Mishustin, he came to Minsk. We held talks, and I think the talks were very meaningful. Discussed probably everything, we made some arrangements and agreements. Some questions were postponed until we meet with you as two presidents of two countries. We discussed most of the things back then at that meeting with the Prime Minister of Russia. Talking about the coronavirus pandemic, we would like to thank you. Thank you for making us a priority for us. I mean, in terms of supplying us with a vaccine. There is clearly a second wave engulfing Europe now. I believe that this wave will be stronger than the first one. There is enough proof to say that this indeed will be like that. I have to tell you that we are not experiencing that much of an outbreak. We understand that there is no reason for us to sit idly by. We're working hard to fight off that virus. Scientists say that this virus is not that dangerous now, but it can actually overlap with the flu when it hits us in the height of the autumn. So I hope there will be no second wave coming all over us and all over Russia. Speaking about defense, we have always abided by the same rule. I said it quite recently. We can quarrel about lots of things, but we are never in disagreement when it comes to defense. We are never asking anyone about anything. We decide for ourselves when and how to hold military exercises. If someone wants to join, good. You're welcome. If not, we don't care. I think that you will also give this order to your Minister of Defense to plan for years ahead the military exercises which are to take place. I already instructed my Minister of Defense to plan it all out. One lesson, just one lesson. Why someone would do cyber rattle on our borders? Why? 15 kilometers from our borders, there was a NATO battalion. They sent it there for training. See, that was a kind of a provocation. And we need to prevent such things from happening, because we remember what happened during the World War II. We had the army in place, and still Hitler came all through Belarus without much of resistance. Only near Smolensk we could put up some defenses, because we were not prepared. Now we should be prepared. We never take any heed to what we say, to what we do. They never take any regard of our concerns. We should do it the same way. Let's not quarrel up the tensions. No, let's just be prepared, because if something happens, we should be prepared. Now, again, thank you. Thank all the Russians. I'd like to thank all the colleagues for the support, all the moral support in these very difficult times.
Mr. Lukashenko, as for the military component, you're right, we've got a plan and it will be implemented throughout the year. We, both in Belarus and in Russia, almost every month we have planned out certain activities. And the way we planned it, the way we are going to do it. And as for other aspects, that's true. Now we have a chance. That's why we are sitting here. We can now have a conversation about all that in a calm manner. And first of all, we have to discuss economy matters, because the decrease by 21%, it's a lot. It has nothing to do with what we did wrong. That's the trend in the world due to the coronavirus. But we are going to fight the coronavirus together, and I'm sure we will overcome the difficulties in the economy as well. It's not by chance that I mentioned the loan that Russia plans to issue to Belarus. Hopefully, it will help with the financial markets as well. Thank you. Dear Mr. Lukashenko, I'm very glad to see you. I have already congratulated you with the victory in the presidential election, but I did it in written and by phone. Now I'm happy to do it personally. I would like to wish you all the best, all the successes. We all know and we all see what is going on in Belarus internally. That happened because of the elections. You know our position very well. We stand for that Belarusians by themselves, without any interference, could engage in a dialogue. They could calmly find a solution, find a common ground on how to build work in the future. We know about your suggestion to start to work on the Constitution. We think it makes sense. And we know the position that your representative stated at the OSCE at the recent meeting due to the work on the Constitution. The responding body was established with the Constitutional Court chairman. I'm sure, keeping in mind your political experience, this work in this regard will be organized at the best level possible, and it would allow to reach new horizons in the development of the political system of the country, and it will also create all the necessary conditions to progress even further. Russia continues to adhere to all the agreements, including the agreements from the Union State Treaty, the CSTO Treaty. We consider Belarus as our closest ally. And of course, as I have already said on a number of occasions and phone conversations, we will fulfill all the obligations that we took. These obligations were taken by us mutually back in 1992 and 1994. It was in 94, at least. You were president already, I wasn't, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that the state, Russia, took up certain obligations, as I said, and regardless of who is in charge, who is in power, who holds office, country must adhere to these obligations. You know that on a number of occasions we have stated that that's what we are going to do. As for our economy relations, Russia remained the biggest investor in Belarusian economy. Just take one example, one project, nuclear power station, $10 billion. The price of it, but on a whole, more than 50% of the trade turnover of the exports of Belarus is exporting to Russia. Almost 2,500 enterprises in Belarus have Russian capital. We have very deep cooperation, sustainable cooperation on a number of areas and industries. And by the way, the coronavirus affected our trade turnover, unfortunately, and it's only natural. That's what is happening in the entire world. The turnover is decreasing, but in this regard, I think we need to make extra efforts, not just to recover the former level, but to create the foundation to make further progress. So I suggest to focus on this as well during today's conversation. I've got some suggestions, I think, at the level of governments, of the ministries, of departments, and even individual enterprises. We need to make additional efforts to clear the existing problems, to resolve the existing problems, and to create foundation for moving forward. Our counterparts at different levels, at the levels of enterprises, ministries, agencies, departments, they stay in contact. Yes, the government has changed in Belarus, but that doesn't prevent us from working together, especially since recently the head of the Russian government, Mr. Mishustin, came to Belarus with a visit, so he had extensive talks there, and they were quite successful on all the tracks, all directions of our cooperation, including the financial area. we have agreed that Russia will issue, in these dire times, Russia will issue a loan, state loan, $1.5 billion, and we will do that. As far as I'm concerned, now our ministers of finance are working on that, and we will need to continue our cooperation also in the military field. First of all, I mean our military enterprises, so we cooperate a lot in quite sensitive areas as well. And today, by the way, we start the exercises that we planned back last year, and they will last for a couple of days. But it's a routine thing for the military people, for the officers, because they train the troops. So to avoid any possible speculation, this was planned and even announced last year. After the joint exercises are completed, the Russian troops will be brought back to Russia. And as a conclusion, I would like to talk about a very relevant topic. I mean, fighting the coronavirus infection, as our prime ministers agreed, and health ministers too. Belarus is going to be the first country to receive our antiviral vaccine against COVID-19. And it has already started to participate at the latest stage of its trials. I think it would allow us not just to start mass production, but also to give the necessary level of safety for our citizens, as well as the level of vaccination and fighting this disease. So, dear Mr. Lukashenko, I'm really glad to see you here. Welcome.
Mr. Putin, thank you so much. Thank you for giving a very detailed description of what we are to discuss today. Thank you, because today, due to these circumstances, I'm being following closely all the recent publications. And you know what? I've seen so many conspiracies in the press. So thank you for giving this very detailed overview. We see what kind of sentiments are circulating in the media, and we need to respond to that. First and foremost, I want to thank you. I think it's common knowledge that I'm thanking you right now, not for adhering to the agreements, because that's what you do with agreements, but you also acted as a good person, of goodwill. So I want to thank you and other Russians who extended this helping hand to us when we had all those troubles when the elections ended. Today I'll brief you up on all that happened, because I can tell you it's not what you've been seeing in the media. But you're an experienced politician, you know that you can cover a story from many, and I will tell you in detail what is happening today in Belarus and in Minsk in particular, especially during weekends. With a smile, I see that on Saturday, girls and women would go out, would take to the streets, and during Sundays and Sundays, people would just go out and rally up across Minsk. As for weekdays, there is nothing like that. Of course, we provide people with designated areas if you want to go on a demonstration, but it's all peaceful. We've drawn a red line. I know that you are familiar with how it happens with red lines. When you were a young president, you had to draw a red line in Chechnya. I hope we won't have anything like that here in Belarus, but we already shown where the red line lies for us. No one has crossed it.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.